Okay, are we here? Are we good to go?
I think we're good to go.
This piece is good to go. No technical difficulties today. We've got episode 62. I don't know where my notes are, but I think it's 62. We got a repeat guest, Mr. Elliot Rowe, the best performance mental coach in the game. I'm sure we'll be getting a lot of wisdom out of his end to start off here in a couple minutes, but maybe we'll let OSF do his weekly job that sometimes, depending on his drink of choice, he gets to do.
You drinking today, OSF?
You drinking?
No, I'm not. This is the day before we go to NFT Paris, which is going to be a heavy drinking session. So I'm just sticking with the Coke Zeros today. Actually, okay. I'm sticking with the rec drinks today.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah,
I know. I own some equity in that.
Yeah. All right. So, as you guys know, the show is. I seemingly have been getting worse and worse at this.
Yeah, now the same fucking thing. Better at speaking. I don't know about you. Come on.
I said the same thing every week for 62 weeks, and I just get worse and worse at it. As you guys know, this show is sponsored by Rollbit, so check out rollbit.com. We have two codes to give away. First code is ElliotWow816. ElliotWow816. We're going to do some loot box spins at the end as well. We have six spins to do today. We have three spins for the guys last week because we were unable to do it. And then we're going to do three new spins as well. We'll have one more code to give away. So this is going to be a pretty dopamine-packed show, I think.
And what are you going to say, Amanda?
We've got a rollover, don't we? We've got a rollover, six spins today. We're going to be here for like 30 minutes. You won't have to stay, Elliot. Don't worry. We're going to spend the last half an hour.
You got to stay and watch the people win. Elliot's giving away some stuff, too. He's going to give away some of his new... book. We'll get into that in a little bit, and we'll have a giveaway post after the show. It's for people to enter into that as well. But I don't know, maybe we just start with a little market commentary before we get into the meat of the show here. I don't know, I guess we're in a holding pattern, but I think it looks bearish out there. What else is new? What do you got for you guys?
What else is new? I do think it does look a little bit a little bit risky right now. We're up so much, and then the ETF inflows slowed, and you know,
the dailies look pretty shitty. I mean, if I were a trader, I would be max short. So I don't know. That might be my positioning. Maybe I'm talking my book a little bit here, but it looks like it's hanging on by a thread, in my opinion.
You say that too often. I do think it. We could go down to like 48k on Bitcoin.
And you got some catalysts today. You got the Nvidia earnings. Obviously, that's a traditional market thing. Maybe it doesn't, you know, matter too much, but it does matter for risk on, risk off in some sense. They are obviously going to beat, but it's just like they can sell off on a beat. I know crypto people, maybe people don't get that, but it definitely could sell off. Maybe I'm just being bear skewed as always, and I'll be wrong.
I think you might be right. This is the
I'm finally right.
Well, I don't know if you're finally right.
It's going to drop to like 46. It could go down 10%.
Yeah, that's what I think. Which is
like zero.
Yeah, we could see. If I look at that ETH chart, that is something pretty special. Like that could drop a lot. It really just depends on ETFs, and you feel like we get the ETF data maybe later than everyone else. Like it feels as though we find it out in the morning, and it's normally dumping overnight based on that. So I would be unsurprised if we sell off a little bit here. But
As ETF flows go, I mean, I heard a bunch of people talking about the highest volume. People do realize that selling goes into volume as well, right? I don't know. Seems like the crypto people just forget that. You know, selling is volume.
Bullish.
Anyway.
Bullish selling.
Yeah, bullish selling. So anyway, what's good, Elliot? Are you participating in the crypto space? Did you get your feet wet in this basket? Did you give up in the bear market? What happened?
I've got a little bit in the crypto space. I have the sort of the cringe of I was working with people telling me about Bitcoin when it was about $200, and I didn't get into it then. I got into it much later.
So, yeah, one of those.
Yeah,
we all have those stories. Brutal. Yeah, I can only imagine talking to like maybe some poker players, some gamblers. They were early adopters.
ETH $30. I was told, hey, this thing ETH. You know, you've got to buy some. I was like, that seems quite difficult. I'll focus on my job.
That's the thing. It's so difficult to buy for so long that people just, you know, it's just like, I just can't be bothered, to be honest. That was, I think, the main thing. Everyone says they heard Bitcoin at a certain time, but the main thing is like actually being bothered to go out there and and do something about it. Yeah. Now it feels like it's slightly easier. It's also slightly easier. It's
so much easier now.
Which is maybe more dangerous.
Yeah, no, I think I had a similar story. I saw it at like 200, couldn't figure out how to buy it. Tried my best, even as a trader, and couldn't get it. But it is what it is. The ships have failed.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah, now you've pivoted. I mean, you're still talking to poker players, but you got some traders, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You have suffered some severe mental traumatic stresses from losing money in the down bear market. And like a whole skew of people, how's business been? Business booming?
I'm not doing as much poker now. We just released the poker book, which is the one we're gonna do a giveaway on, A Game Poker. So that was launched, but I was probably a few years ago 80% poker and 20% business and trading, let's say 5 years ago, and now it's switched. So trading crypto, Wall Street, etc., and CEOs of companies, founders of companies is probably 80% of my business. Wow. And then 20% is high stakes poker, high stakes gambling. So it's been a complete switch, and I think it's because of the potential in the different industries. So, you know, if you can improve someone's performance in trading, it's uncapped. But in poker, realistically, unless you can get into very extreme private games, your winnings are capped to some extent. And it's, yeah, the traders are just seeing if their mental game is better, if they're not making those mistakes, if they're dealing well under pressure, you know, they're not chasing, it can make a dramatic difference to their bottom line.
Yeah, I guess the game of poker has also slightly changed, right? It's become, I would say, maybe even slightly less of a mental game and more of a mass game. Like, everyone's like...
Well, I mean, to some extent, I think the mental game is like now the final edge. Because it's more of a maths game, and it's who can implement that for the longest without going on tilt. Yeah. Because in the past, there used to be more of a knowledge differential. So there weren't the solvers, and there weren't the high quality training sites. And there'd be some people who really knew how to play, and then most people didn't know how to play. Whereas now, all of the information is available. So we're looking at, okay, what's the differential? Well, if this guy can play that way for 48 hours, and this guy can play that way for 10 hours, the guy who can play that way for 48 hours is going to win. So it's not just the tilt side, but also, you know, how's your health and fitness? Are you meditating? Are you sleeping leading up to playing these long sessions? So we're really looking for the edges outside the informational war, because the informational gap is closing, certainly compared to, you know, 10 years ago, where, you know, it was just a completely different technical game.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. It's all about the shaving those little edges, especially in something so specialized as poker now, where the edges are infinitesimal. Mm-hmm. What about maybe you want to give a quick background, like fast summary? I know you've been on the show before, but just for any first-time listeners, we've definitely grown since then, I'd assume. You were one of the early guests, so spit out a quick background for us? Just so
yeah, of course.
Know what we're talking about.
Yeah, my life changed after Rec Radio. That was the moment. No,
sorry.
So many cases, man.
It's gotten way worse.
Yeah. So I've been in this space since 2010. Mindset and performance coach. Big part of my market initially was working with poker players. That went extraordinarily well. My clients have won over $250 million in poker, sort of all of the major events. From that, I got introduced to traders, businessmen, lots of athletes. So then started working with UFC fighters, worked with a number of UFC champions over the years, Olympic athletes. And my niche is really high performance. So it's like getting people who are at 95% and trying to get them to 97%, with that 2% being incredibly valuable for them. So it's sort of the money in everything is made by the people at the very top. And, you know, it seems to be an exponential curve. So if you can take someone who's already high performing and find those little edges and help them overcome them, then they can make dramatically more money. And that's been my niche for the last however long it is now, 14 years of this. I think it was 2010, so 2014 now. So it's helping people understand, hey, why am I self-sabotaging in this way? Why am I procrastinating? Hey, I'm top 10 in the world. What's the difference between the guy who's number one and me? And it's helping them understand that gap and working through that gap. And then, you know, in a lot of cases, telling them to do the obvious things that they should be doing. You know, there's a lot of stuff that is just it's easy stuff to change, but people don't want to do it. And there's a reason why. And it's us understanding, you know, what's the excuse you're trying to create by not sleeping, by not exercising, by not looking after your mental health, by not doing your research before you're placing trades, by chasing when you shouldn't be chasing, by not following bankroll management, and really just helping people work through that and understand that better.
Yeah, I feel like when we had this last chat, I came away from it, and I think we all kind of did, and we're like, all right, we're going to implement a lot of those things. And I think I did implement some of the, like, the healthiness things. Like, I was definitely got a lot healthier over the last 12 months and some of the other stuff. But I think the main useful thing is, like, you kind of do those things for a few weeks and then you fall off the wagon. Like, how do you get yourself, like, I feel like that would be 90% of the people that might be coming to you. It's like, yeah, I know how to do all these things, but how do I keep that discipline?
So part of it is just having a level of accountability in the background. So, you know, I view mindset coaching in the same way a lot of people might view having a personal trainer. You don't do 3 months with a personal trainer, get in shape, and then stop working with a personal trainer. You work with the person, you know, I've worked with my personal trainer multiple times a week for 8 years. And in 8 years' time, I'm going to say 16 years, you know, if she hasn't left, there'll be another one. But, yeah. But you know, this is something you need to stay ahead of, because your mental game, especially in trading, realistically, it's where a lot of the mistakes can be made, is if you're not feeling sharp and if you're allowing yourself to go on tilt and costing yourself in those clutch moments. And it's not something where you can just do a little bit of this and then say, hey, I'm fixed forever. This is a long-term investment in yourself and should be viewed in, hey, I'm working out to keep my body in shape. I'm working on my mindset to keep my mind in shape. And that's the way I view it. And that's the way I do it as well with sort of my coaches. I'm always utilizing coaches for the same reason. Nobody's the finished product. They should always be looking to sharpen the knife. And, you know, when you're dealing with millions of dollars, it makes sense to keep that knife as sharp as possible.
So that I know that is the classic answer, but how many of your clients actually do that? Like, how many of your clients
work with me long term,
or like really do stick to it? Like, what is your attrition rate you tend to find in number of clients that you get?
A lot of my clients stay long term. Right. What will often happen is they won't keep the cadence, and then they'll come back to me after a crisis, and then we'll start again.
Are we just like running through?
Yeah, it's like, who am I looking at here? Is there someone?
Anything?
I'm like a problem client for Alex.
Yeah, a problem child. Yeah.
But it's really that simple. Oh, it's God. You know, a lot of the time we get people in a state where the truth is, if you really start working on your research, your health and fitness, your meditation, and you get everything, and you work through the subconscious issues, a lot of the time there are these sort of big issues that we're working through, and then we see this big shift. People are like, oh, I'm good now. In the same way that if you've gone through a really strong diet and exercise program and your body was in great shape and you got a six pack, you're like, I'm good. I don't need to train. But the problem is,
those are bad.
And that buys you so much time. And for a few months, you're right. Like, maybe, you know, maybe a quarter, maybe 6 months, you're still good because everything was in place, but it starts to deteriorate over time. And then, unfortunately, people usually reach out again post-crisis rather than before the crisis, and we're playing catch-up and repairing rather than keeping them, you know, on the run. But some of them work with me consistently. Some of them, we go through these phases. And some people, they do, you know, one package, work through their issues, and they're like, they're good, and that's fine as well. But I do think at least being mindful of mindset, and even if you're not working with a coach, at least doing the meditation, the saunas, the exercise, the making sure you get good sleep, those things will make you more robust and allow you to perform better alone anyway.
I like the middle one there, the saunas. What's the saunas?
Yeah, I mean, I do 5 days a week in the sauna. We're lucky we've got one at home, but I highly recommend that. It's great for detoxing, and I use it as meditation time. So I get up early, do a sauna, meditate in the sauna, have a cold shower if I do it at home. We also use a cold plunge place locally. I do that a couple of times a week, and then I do the plunge and the sauna. But again, it's time that forces you to meditate. You can't do anything in the sauna, so it gets your meditation done, and it's healthy for you. So all of those, it's again, we're looking for these tiny edges. And it's like, will I outperform someone else in the market if I'm doing a little bit more? And generally, if you look for all of the small edges, some of them will count for something, and you can build on those and have a bigger edge against the people who can't be bothered to do it.
Yeah, no, I think I'm in kind of the vicious cycle of just doing things after things go wrong, which is definitely not the way to go about it. So I'm definitely interested in trying to figure out how to break it down a client like that. How do you go about, you know, getting someone to stick to their plan, or like, is it just like a more cadence, or what do you, what's
your usually advice? Cadence, like, I mean, the ideal plans would be, hey, we're going to catch up every 6 weeks, even if you're doing really well. That would be the ideal. And then, you know, and we can check in, and if things are going into chaos, they're going into chaos. We need to do a lot more work. If we get to the 6 weeks and you're crushing, it's pushed back. But just having some level of accountability, and not this like, hey, I'm doing well enough, and then allowing everything else to fall back, because again, you're just moving yourself backwards if you're heading away from high performance. And everyone knows this stuff, you know. It's simplistic, but it's hard. You know, a saying I like is sort of, love yourself enough to do the hard things so you deserve the life you say you want, you know. Like, it's like do the thing the other people aren't willing to do, because that's where all of the edge is. Like, everyone's doing about 90%, you know. It's that final bit of effort that pushes you ahead of everyone else, and that's where all of the money and everything is.
So I know you obviously have a book coming out right now. Is that the nature of the book? Are you highlighting what you've seen across successful people, or maybe get down to what it's about?
So the book's I'll do the author thing. The book, hey, Dan Poker. The book's Poker Niche, but there's actually a ton of crossover into trading. It's almost identical in terms of the sessions I'm doing with traders and the sessions I'm doing with poker players. Because all of this is just about a professional mindset, understanding where the self-sabotage is coming from. And they're similar self-sabotage issues that we see in poker and trading. And sort of seeing yourself as in poker we call NA game player. And again, we can sort of superimpose that onto trading as well. It's like, are you turning up and being that true professional? Or are you turning up and just getting by? And if you look at what the very best in the world are doing, you can just see the gap between where you are and where they are, and fill in those gaps and make a lot more money. We're heading into, you know, well, we're in, you know, a much better crypto market than last time I spoke to you guys. You know, it's a dramatically different situation. And the difference between being really sharp over the next year or so and not being really sharp might be millions of dollars for people. And it's taking that seriously and not looking back in 2 years' time and being like, ah, man, I just drank my way through that. You know, I missed the opportunity of a lifetime because I just couldn't be bothered to be truly professional. Like, we've seen it last time around. You know, I know people who made 9 figures last time. You know, that's on the table. People do it. You know, and it's just how much effort are you willing to put in to make sure you have the highest chance of being one of those people.
Yeah, no, it all seems so simple on the surface, but I guess
but it's tough. Like you said,
like that last 5-10% is probably the hardest thing to do, you know, especially for people with a volatile lifestyle. Where crypto
I think that helps as well, because it's hard for everyone. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just hard for you, it's hard for everyone, and that means most people won't bother to do it.
So yeah, no,
like, anything that seems really miserable that's going to improve you, like, most people won't bother doing that. Like, then, yeah, you know.
For sure.
I'm up early this morning in a, you know, 5:30 a.m. in a sauna and having a cold shower. Like, most people aren't doing that. They're just not. But it gives me an edge over those people. And it's just looking for any of those edges and understanding that all of this compounds, and over time and over years, you're going to make less mistakes, and that's going to make you a lot more money.
I was about to say, have you seen that generally in your clients, that it's more of a compounding thing rather than like one day they just absolutely smash it? Like, is it really about, you know, each day they're making small gains and then that adds up? Or is it like they just have this eureka moment after like 18 months and they crush it?
Oh, right. So there's a combination of. So if someone has a significant self-sabotage, us working through that in a session, sometimes we can have a huge session that it just works through that. So the modality is hypnosis. It's like guided meditation. It's not like the stage shows. And we're digging into the root cause of issues. So where's this self-sabotage coming from? Why am I chasing? Why is it so painful for me to have a losing day? Why am I responding this way? And let's say we work through that issue and it brings up issues in childhood of like feeling if you lose at sports, your dad doesn't love you, whatever reason the person has this particularly strong trigger connected to not losing on a particular day. We work through that. Sometimes it's very emotional. Sometimes that will be a click and they'll just stop chasing in the way they were chasing before. So that can obviously, those sorts of self-sabotages, that can be a huge session that just changes the direction of their career. The more like professionalism work takes time. So if you start exercising this week, you're not going to see the gains from exercising this week. But if you start exercising this week in 6 to 9 months, you're going to be focusing better throughout your day if you're in much better shape than you were before. If your sleep hygiene is better and you're going to bed at a similar time of night and getting up at a similar time in the morning, you're going to be performing better in 6 to 9 months. So it's a combination between these very large shifts of working through emotional issues of self-sabotage, fear of failure, fear of success. Do I deserve this amount of wealth? Not sabotaging it and giving it all away as soon as you get it, like all of those types of issues. And then this, how do we make someone be the most professional version of themselves and make sure that they can take advantage of the opportunities a market like this offers?
I mean, it's like we keep saying, it's simple but hard, and those edges are there. I think for myself, I either live like way up here or way down here, and it's hard to like stay even in the middle. I think we've talked through a lot of that and like the basic things of, you know, professionalism and building blocks and having those compound on each other definitely pays off. But then again, you know, I've let it lapse again here. So that's why maybe for my own personal situation, I feel like there are a lot of people like me that, you know, go at it pretty hard, then maybe have success, then pull back, then, you know, get crushed and go in like a black hole spiral of some kind, especially traders who chase, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I guess the biggest thing is how to turn the ship. Like these, to turn the ship when you're losing trading or losing poker, losing gambling is probably the hardest thing. How do you get people to take those first steps and turn with what's like a massive cruise ship going through the Panama Canal over here? It seems like there's a lot of ways to get hung up.
So a lot of the way of turning things around is, accepting what you can control. So let's say it's poker. A lot of the time, you know, the clients are blaming variance, right? Mm. You know, I'm just unlucky. That's the time to really dig into your study and have other people look at your game and give you some feedback as to whether it's actually bad variance or if you started to play poorly. Typically, through a bad run, you start making bad decisions. So your pattern recognition is off. If you keep seeing the tops of people's ranges, you're going to start believe that's going to keep happening. That you know, you're just going to, your pattern recognition is going to be off. You're going to play incorrectly. And with trading, again, we need to make sure that you're actually making effective trades. And usually when there's high emotionality, when you're feeling like you're losing, you lose your confidence and you don't pull the trigger fast enough or you pull it incorrectly and the sharpness is gone. So we look at what we can control with research. Usually if someone's on a big downswing, we reduce the size for a while until they're comfortable. So we're not trying to win this back fast, make this back fast. We're looking to gradually rebuild the confidence and make sure that technically what we're doing is sound. And then again, everything else you can control, you want to get under control. So the basics, the exercise, the sleep, the meditation, et cetera, et cetera. So all of those things that are going to support you as you're going through this tough time period. Another thing to be very aware of here in terms of what you were describing there is the... hey, I keep making a large amount of money and then I find myself giving it back. A large percentage of the time, that's a self-worth issue of some kind. It's, do I deserve this amount of money? And when you hit a certain level, you bring yourself down rather than continue to grow because people are uncomfortable with very large sums of money and they find ways of giving it away. You know, we all know the data about the lottery winners, who is something like some ridiculous percentage of lottery winners after 5 years are bankrupt, right? It's because they don't feel they deserve the money and they're trying to bring themselves back to a level they feel comfortable. All right. I see the same thing in trading. I see the same thing in poker. And the number's arbitrary. For some people, it's like 20 grand and for other people, it's 20 million. But they seem to have a wealth thermostat that they need to work on where they're comfortable staying around there. But when they go above it, they find a way of self-sabotaging and giving it back. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of the people watching this will have a number where they keep finding themselves back at that number. And it, often it's round numbers. It's like 100,000, it's $1 million, it's $5 million, whatever it might be, but they keep ending up in the same place. And it's not rational to keep ending up in the same place. You should be growing over time. So if you are, then you want to be looking at what's happening there and why that's happening.
Yeah. No, I mean, there definitely are like barrier net worth numbers that you can hit and stick around for a while. I mean, I quite like being rich. I would like to keep the money, and making money is nice, and having money. So I wonder, I mean, I definitely exhibit this pattern where I, you know, make a massive amount and then give it back and bleed. But I think it's caused like from chasing, let's say, like I'll start to lose and maybe bring emotions into it, and the pattern recognition and sharpness start to deteriorate. And then instead of lowering size, I continue to upsize and take more marginal shots and shot take over and over.
Yeah, I kind of question that. I question what you just said there, slightly, because I feel like sometimes that's how you make the money. Like, it's by doing impulsive things. So like, it's easy come, easy go. Like, it's the same impulse that makes you the money. And sometimes it is more of a gut thing for me. Like, I find that I sometimes do lose money. I'm like, the money that I just made, but I sometimes just chalk that up to the idea that you just go with a gut trade. And sometimes you can just be too big or too reckless, rather than like
missizing impulses. Yeah, no, because I'm like very impulsive as well in the way I trade.
There's gonna be times when placing large trades impulsively are gonna win and you're gonna make lots of money, right? That's clearly the case. But it's, are we going into a self-sabotage cycle where we're clearly chasing rather than actually following our gut instincts and making rational decisions?
Yeah, let me just say, like, you know,
this shift there. People, yeah, you know when it's a good trade innately, and most people also know when they've started to chase. Like, there's a different feeling about being desperate to get the money back. And that's the sort of feeling that we're looking for. Like, what's happening here? Like, if I look back on these trades, are these rational trades? Is this the way I would want someone else to trade? Like, you know, how many trades am I expecting to make in a day? Am I 10xing the number of trades I'm supposed to be making in a day? And sometimes that's what I see. You know, they're aiming to make 5 trades and they make 50. Like, that's not a rational thought process. That's someone desperate to have a green day. And it's like, it's looking for those moments where we can optimize in that way.
Yeah, no, I have to agree. I mean, like, you know, when the trade is a spot to take a big size or a big swing at it. It's
like getting short right now.
I'm probably short more than Elliot would recommend, especially for the mindset I'm living in. But you know, this is definitely a shot taking moment. We're witnessing in real time.
We'll have a chat afterwards.
Just booking a session now.
I'm looking at the numbers. I'm like, damn, you would not be happy with those. But yeah, so there you go. It's like, I guess you can chalk that up to I'm chasing a little bit. And I'm trying to get the P&L and thinking like, this is the spot. And then if this goes
and it
wrong,
might be, and it might hit
further. And
but again,
have respect for your limits and respect for, you know, changing. Cause I think, I don't know, somehow I just constantly disrespect attempts to change.
And it's less fun if you do it my way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right? Way less fun.
It's going to take a while.
Think about each trade, it's way less fun.
Yeah, you know, this is one where, you know, we're looking for you to take a professional, long-term approach to increasing the money that you're making. And we still want you taking the risks when it makes sense to take the risk, but every day shouldn't feel like a casino. And, you know, that takes some of the excitement away from it, but it also takes out these big swings. And, you know, the downs feel worse than the wins feel good, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's really just stepping into, why am I allowing myself to do this? And trying to understand what program it's coming from. Again, I think the self-sabotage is a big part of this in trading, and I've seen it over and over again.
Is patience part of that as well? Like, is it really just having the ability to sit in your hands? Because I think part of it is every single trader basically has ADHD. And they say, oh, you know, I'm out of the trade, I'm not going to get back in. And then literally they are sitting there looking at screens. It's almost like they need to get back in. Like,
they want to be in action.
FOMO, right, too, I guess, in that situation.
And also it's this feeling of like, oh, it's going to disappear, I'm going to miss the one. But mm-hmm. the truth is, there's going to be trading for the next 10 years, 20 years. Like, it might change a bit with AI, but this isn't, today isn't the last chance of you placing a short.
You know? No, it's funny. Like, the funny part is, like, obviously, like,
next week there's going to be another great opportunity, and the week after, and it's taking it slower and not seeing everything as like, today's my last chance. That the casino will still be running next year.
Yeah.
And we want to take, where I've seen people do really well is when they've slowed down and they're like, I'm only going to take the trades that I feel are like the absolutely stellar trades, and I'm going to get rid of 80% of my trades.
Yeah. I mean, you'd make more money for sure. Way more. Slapped you in the face and you could size up with confidence and like completely fucking murder it. But I don't know. I just personally have had trouble for a decade now getting to that level where I have like the control, but I guess there's a lot of things we could work on there in my personal situation. But
are your most successful clients happy, you think?
It varies. Some of them are very happy. A lot of the time when it's purely financial success, I don't think past a certain level, it makes any difference. I genuinely believe there's no difference between having $30 million or $100 million in terms of happiness. Like, there just isn't. And then 100 to 500 million, there's definitely no difference in happiness. From what I've seen with clients I've worked with, what I tend to see, the happiest clients tend to be ones who've become financially secure. So they, you know, they are in that very good situation financially. And then in some way, they're helping to mentor other people. So they're bringing other people up. They're helping people. Perhaps they're doing some kind of charity work. They tend to be my happiest clients. So not only have they got the financial success and their family are safe, they're sort of giving back to society in some way. And I think that's where a lot of guys end up with eventually. That's where they end up eventually.
What are the, like, when, I think something that probably every person in the space comes across is what we just talked about. Like, you see a trade that you think could be a good trade and you feel like you have to act on it now. And it's just making that impulsive decision of like, should I go in or should I not? And often, like, those impulsive decisions are the ones that, you know, you maybe have one time where you made a ton of money on it, and then you probably had seven or eight times afterwards where you've lost money on it, but you're just chasing that feeling of that first time. But like, what are some of the, is there like a checklist or a thought process someone can go through when they get to that point where they're like, oh, I think this is a really good trade, I'm just going to go in for it. But is it like, I know we're supposed to take more time, like, what should we ask ourselves when we get to that point to kind of
Well, I mean, having a game plan for the trade is one. So a lot of the time with those trades, it's like, okay, do we actually have a stop? Like, yeah. And also, like, no. at what point? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And at what point am I invalidated? Is my idea invalidated? So at what point can I say that I was wrong? And if you can actually say, you know, this is where I'm wrong, then it's probably a safe trade to make. If you're like, I don't know what would make me wrong in this situation, then that's a dangerous spot for you to be in. So it's really making sure there's some kind of invalidation.
Part of me has thought that, you know, I just think that that whole idea that we're literally in front of screens, which are have that impulse that make us want to do stuff all the time, or like make us want to take those risks. Part of it, for me, is kind of accepting that and just having part of my portfolio, but it's much smaller in that.
I've actually seen that
all day. And then the more diligent trades, the ones with the stops, with the invalidations, that's the lion's share of my portfolio. But like, yeah, I'll just always have the...
I've actually seen that be super effective, is like a fun account.
Yeah, exactly.
Have a 10% fun account. And that's the one that you're making the crazy trades and, you know, you're enjoying. And then you have a 90% of everything is your real account. Obviously, the issue is if you keep zeroing the fun account, you have to reload it. So that's the...
Yeah, back to the casino.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. You just got to make sure it's always the same sort of size relative to the rest of it. And obviously, you're going to blow yourself. That's the sort of account you have to debate buying back in.
At some point, but even just as a, you know, if you're just aware, even if it's separate, you're defending 90% of your wealth. So even then, you know, it's a much better spot than most people end up in crypto when, you know, they're doing all the fun stuff and taking the shots. You know, and wealth protection at some point becomes extraordinarily important. And it goes from, hey, you know, a few years ago when you didn't have much money, you needed to take the shots that might 100x. Right. If you're extraordinarily wealthy, you don't actually need to take those shots anymore. You need to protect what you have and grow it more efficiently and slowly and safely. If you're not just chasing dopamine, which, you know, is part of the game as well.
Yeah, I want to go back to what you were saying before, which is like, yeah, we'll be trading for 10 years. I was thinking, like, this year's been decent, or at least the last 6 months has been. I was even just thinking today, like, are me and OSF going to be doing, and KBN going to be doing a podcast in 20 years, still doing crypto, like, still doing trades? Like, we're going to be here for fucking ages. Like, like, it's going to be boring if it all just if we all just make it now.
Like, we're responsible.
But see, if you want to...
What I mean is,
you want to make sure you can keep the show going by damaging your wealth.
I'm just going to be trading, so I might as well draw out the process of it being a success, right? Like, this just seems so tough.
Yeah,
I'm taking care of that side of it for you this season.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah. I mean, yes, you can do it slower if you want, but again, I would view this as like, what is the next level, and, you know, what's the show like if you do it effectively and you have 5-10x what you have now in 2 years. How do things change? How do your opportunities in life change? What events are you going to? Who are you meeting? Like, what level of, you know, in some cases, political power do you end up having randomly because you traded effectively? And that's a real thing. You know, you can actually, you can impact the world in massive ways through crypto if you do this right, because it's uncapped. It's a bizarre situation that probably... It's very surprising that this exists, that people who trade effectively can leverage that and have impact on the world. And I would say that's better than keeping it capped for a slower long-term journey. But again, it's everyone's journey. It's your choice as to how you want to do it.
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily to keep it capped. It's just, it made me question the enjoyment of it. It's like, oh, I shouldn't be trying to chase some like near-term thrill, because like, you know what, like, I could blow myself up and I know I'm going to be doing this for
Oh, sorry, you shouldn't chase the short-term thrill, you mean?
Well, I just, that's that whole concept. It's such a marathon, right? Like, when you actually think about it, I don't know what else I'm going to be doing for the next 20 years. So might as well just be a bit more.
I misinterpreted what you meant. Yeah. I thought you meant sort of, you know, trading badly so you could keep the show going.
Oh, no.
Purposely getting wrecked for the brand.
Yeah, like, oh, I'm going to keep taking risks because, hey, whatever, it's fun. Yeah, no, I agree with you. Yeah, it's like this slow grind. Again, there are going to be great bets that you place, great trades that you make. But I would just really say, is this really a great trade or is this a good trade? And if you can focus on the great ones rather than the good ones, that's where people make the most money. So yeah, I mean, it is just a long-term marathon. And even if crypto disappears, there'll be something else that you're trading. And that's the other thing. Right now it's this, but there's always a different market for something where people are making money. And it just shifts from, you know, it was the dot-com bubble at some point, and then property was insane, and now it's crypto, and... You know, whatever next. But there will always be something on the edge where trading skills can be used to leverage profits.
Mm, yeah. No. What about? No, you go ahead, Michael.
You go.
No, I was gonna say, what about like on the client side? You know, what's like a day in the life of a client that you've molded to perform at a high level, like from start to finish? And I'm also curious: are most of your clients, do they become like sober?
They move towards it. Like, I encourage moving toward, like, not necessarily completely sober,
yeah,
but definitely.
You're saying, because that's obviously a performance edge if you're sober.
Yeah. I mean, but certainly significantly reduced. I see people perform much, much better when they basically weed crushes people. If I think every client I've ever had who stopped smoking weed has made more money. People don't like to hear it, but it's just the data that I have is that they perform better when they're not smoking weed. And then with alcohol, you know, if you want to enjoy a glass of wine with a meal or two, you know, that's fine once, twice a week. But if you're drinking heavily, it's going to impact your performance at some stage. Like, it's just, you're human beings, and that's just a reality. In terms of the day in the life, the ideal would be a set wake up time, which is depends on where they are in the world as to what the best time that is for them with the markets or poker or whatever they're doing. Some kind of morning routine. As I say, mine is sauna, cold shower, a cold plunge, meditation in the sauna, workout with the trainer, and getting into my sessions. It will be some version of that for my clients. And then depending on the industry that they're in, it's whether that, let's say for poker, it might be study and then playing set poker hours and then ideally relatively rigid bedtimes, which for poker can be more difficult. But then for traders, similar sort of thing, like when are you getting your research in? When are you placing your trades? What's the best time for you to be sitting at your computer? Do you want to sit at the computer all of the time? It's sort of just optimizing everything. And obviously it varies from industry to industry. It's different for a CEO or a founder of a company than it is for a trader or a poker player, but we're just looking to optimize their time so they can fit everything in. And you've got to fit in fun things as well, and family time and friends. But all of those should be fit in to make sure that they happen, rather than random events. It's all about just optimization basically. And what's the best life we can create for someone that they can reasonably do for an entire year without feeling they're going to burn out. And that's one of the things I think a lot of the time people have this grind mindset of like, I should get up at 4 a.m. and run 8 miles and then I should work 12 hours. And that only lasts so long. Most people burn out horrifically if they try one of these grind mindsets with no rest days and no recovery and no family time. So I like to create a schedule where it's realistic the person could do it for the rest of their life and not burn out. And I think that's something to just be mindful of, is the absolute grind rarely lasts more than 3 months. And then we usually see a burnout period.
So yeah. Go ahead, Mike.
There you go.
No, I was going to say, yeah, it makes sense. So you're kind of like breaking down the day into maybe segments, or just making sure you have consistency throughout, you know, the whole process. Just because obviously consistency compounds so well. We see it across everything in our lives. But yeah, I mean, still on the track trying to figure that out. But go ahead, Mando.
Yeah, I was going to ask about the book. So like, maybe break it back. Like, what if I know when you write down all of your thoughts, you maybe have some epiphanies about them. Like, what are the main things that you kind of take away having written this book? Obviously, you spoke to a lot of different poker players. So is there anything particular about them or that you've learned?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing that I always say is this sort of, you're not your issues. You've just learned them, and that's the first thing. All of these self sabotages, these fears, the places you're holding you back. It's not innately you. You've just learned to cope in this way. And that all of that can be unlearned. A lot of the book, as I've been describing today, is about professionalism. It's about understanding how to put yourself in a situation where getting in the flow state or getting in focus is not something you're randomly hoping that happens, but a state that you're able to put yourself in vastly more frequently. And then with the book, it was fun. I interviewed a lot of clients that I've worked with over the years who've had very high success in poker, like Fedor, you're on this thing now, Phil Galfond, Jason Kuhn, Barry Sweet, Brian Rast, and a load of others. And they spoke about their stories of the mindset issues that they were struggling with and how we worked through them and where that came from in their past. So it really gives a breakdown of what these like absolute crushers in poker, what was holding them back, and, you know, basically how we worked through it and what that meant for their bottom line. So it was just a ton of fun as a project.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be interesting. Like I said, the top poker players, it's kind of interesting. We've had a few of them on the show. They do think about stuff. It's like some of them are involved in this space, but a lot of them aren't. But they all have very, very similar sort of mindsets to the main traders out there. I think it's all about bankroll management and thinking about risk reward for each different play. But I can imagine, like you said, this book is going to be super useful for anyone who's kind of thinking about trading as well at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost the same. As I say, when I work with, ironically, almost anyone, the sessions are the same. They're all about self-sabotage. And it doesn't matter if you're a UFC fighter, an Olympian, a trader, CEO, humans are humans. And they're running the same patterns. And most people know what to do. It's just a struggle to do it. And this gives them an opportunity to understand why they're struggling and then work through those problems.
I know you said you did meditation work in the morning. Maybe give a like a, maybe a brief overview of what that would be in the morning? And so, and do you do like hypnosis stuff as well? Is it just
there's a variation of. So I'll sit and I'll either do breath work, Wim Hof style breath work, or I've got an app called Primed Mind. Actually, we've done I'll put a plug in, primemind.com/wrecked, and you can get a 50% discount on the app. So that has hypnosis audios. It's similar to meditation. Hypnosis audios. There's a load of trading ones on there as well. Primemind.com/wrecked. Or I'll utilize that, or just normal meditation, just mindfulness meditation is just sitting in silence, following your breath. And then when you end up, your mind gets distracted, bringing yourself back to your breath again. And that's the entire meditation exercise, just bringing yourself back to your breath. And that's all it needs to be. With Prime Mind, it's useful because, as I say, there are specific, like before you trade or releasing trade anxiety audios in there. That's sort of more niched, more specific to a particular issue, whereas general meditation is just a focus exercise.
Really? Okay. So you're not trying to think about certain things. You're really just trying to retain focus over that period.
You're trying to just bring yourself back to your breath. So you're sitting there in silence, thinking about your breath, and then back to it again, and then back to it again, and then back to it again. And that gives you control, more control over your mind, so that when you're pulled in the wrong direction, when you want to focus, this is like a muscle that you've built in the same way as if you're doing bicep curls.
That's interesting. So how long do you aim to try to keep that focus?
I just do 10 minutes in the morning.
Right. So but how long can you normally keep that focus on just your breath? Like, is it every 30 seconds or like,
it's hard to even tell when you just chill out. Like, yeah. I mean, when you start out, it's going to be every 5 seconds, you're bringing yourself back, and then gradually it's going to expand and expand. And if you're having a bad day, you're going to be pulled away more. And if you're having a good day, you're going to be pulled away less, but it's really the rep is the bringing yourself back. So that's where the change happens. So it doesn't matter if you think you're bad at it, you're probably doing better with it.
Yeah, no, I think breathwork and meditation always comes up as something that people always say once they do it, it's make profound changes in their life once they do it consistently. So
yeah.
As someone who still has not done that consistently.
I would suck at that.
I don't know. Everyone says the benefits and like, I don't know why
if it was in pill form, you'd take the pill.
Easy. We're all about the easy mode here. with that being said, it's like, what would you say are the three things that any listener here today, what the hell is this? The three things that like three listeners could take away today that they can start doing that can just help them at home and improve their life, improve their performance at any level.
So the first thing is like, look at whatever the absolute elite are doing in the industry and copy them. Right. So wherever you can, just basically see where the gaps are and copy those people because they're doing something you're not if they're doing better than you. The next is really dig into that mindset of you are not your issues. You have learned your issues and they can be unlearned. Obviously, I'm very biased towards coaching. We have a team of coaches. I coach people. If you want to dig into this, hit someone up, actually work on it. Doesn't need to be with us, but just make sure you're seeing this as serious as having a personal trainer for your exercise. Like there are shifts that can happen. And you should take it really seriously. And the third is you already know all the stuff you should be doing. There's no one who doesn't know that if they get better sleep, their mind is sharper. If they don't trade whilst drunk, they don't trade better. Like if they exercise, they're going to improve. A lot of this is extraordinarily basic and you should hit all of the basic stuff, like hold yourself accountable enough to hit the basic stuff so that when you're looking back in 5 years' time at this opportunity of a lifetime, you think I didn't waste it because I was drunk or I was high or I was staying up till 5 a.m. Like it's going to be easy money and it's going to feel like it's going to go on forever. And that you're going to keep printing forever, but we've all just seen a bear market and we know what it's like when it switches. You want to be leaving this rich next time the bull market really kicks in and happens. So do everything you can to put yourself in the situation to take advantage of that. And, you know, anything that can give you an edge, you should be looking to do. That's my thesis. That's what I believe. And obviously it's my business, so I'm very biased.
Yeah, no, I think that kind of answered the final question that we were going to get into, which was how not to get wrecked. I don't know if you got one more input into that as a final stamp on the show until we get into the loot spins.
Well, man, it is all that, it's all that stuff. It's just like, do what you know you should be doing and work with a professional to make sure that you keep doing it. Like, that's
agreed.
That's
it's about accountability, consistency, discipline. And like you said, we know what we should be doing.
Yeah.
It's about just getting over that hump. All right. Appreciate that, man. What was it? PrimeMind/wrecked.
PrimeMind.com/wrecked. I don't know if someone could chuck it in the chat or a tweet.
Yeah. PrimeMind.com/wrecked.
Yeah. And that will be a 50% discount on the app. And then the books, as I say, we'll give away 10 of the books some way through Twitter or something like that for you guys.
Yeah. We're giving away 10 of Elliot's books. Go ahead.
Oh, and if anyone wants to reach out for coaching, it's elliotrowe.com, and there's just an application form. So you can just apply for coaching. We have a team of coaches at different price points. Like, there is someone for everyone. So just, elliotrowe.com, fill out an application, and we'll see if there's a right fit for you. If you want to be told off and pushed in the right direction, if that sounds fun. But it's for people taking trading seriously, it's usually very profitable for them.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. No, it's definitely a path if you want to improve your mental. Definitely everyone should look into it. And we're going to give away those books, as Elliot said. We'll make a giveaway post at the end of the show. Now let's give away some stuff in real time. I guess we got 6 loot boxes because the site broke last... Oh, no, they didn't credit our account last week.
They didn't credit
our account. Was out of office.
Should I do the second code real quick?
Yeah, get the second code, and then let's get it going. We'll bring some people up here. We got 3 people to... from last week and then 3 people from this week.
$60,000 United States dollars in the Robert account right now.
You want to just bet it on something else?
Feels like it, doesn't it?
All right, run those codes. I am wrecked 6211. I am wrecked 6211.
All right, let's get that Twitter picker up. Pick 3. We'll call your name out. Then you request on Twitter Spaces, please. When you hear your name, not before.
This is going to be a big one. This has got to be.
I love how we just do a whole show on like discipline and like management.
Like,
and
let's fucking send some it. Fucking.
This is free money for everyone. This is free money.
This is plus.
Yeah, this is plus. They listen to our show every week.
Discipline. You just got to listen to the show. Right, it's remarkable how much money we've given away on this show, and no one's listening.
Imagine not doing this. Oh my God, Smokey D-Gen. That's a repeat winner. Good for him. Yeah. Maybe not. I don't know. I just see the streets. So Smokey D-Gen, Kelly Dunnett, and Malik Smietana, Hydraulic Zero. Please request.
Smokey D-Gen and Easy Avax have had like the best luck ever.
Well, they've been here since the beginning and listening.
He's got the discipline.
They listen. They listen. I see them every single show. So fair enough.
Oh wait, I got one. I got 2. And then we need Kelly Dunnett. You get another couple seconds here. We got Malik and Smokey.
Here we go.
What's up, brother?
Should I get going, or should we get one more? Should we get one more on
there? No, we need Kelly Dunnett, or yeah, do we got her? Oh no, I hit the wrong person.
Oh no,
somebody kick MV. I got it.
Okay.
No, don't worry, I'm taking care of it. Okay, we can start the spins. You want to do last week's first?
Yeah. Okay, so who are we starting with today?
We're starting with them in the chat.
Maliz 231.
Looks like last week, Maliz 231. Yeah, yeah.
Maliz 231. Here we go.
Yeah.
Oh,
Mike's trading, and his 10,000's gone.
Wow, you did win a robot. That's 1.5 grand.
What is this page? This isn't even the.
We don't see the spins.
You've got trading, and you're missing $10,000. Okay.
There you go. You see it now?
Yeah. Yeah, Malik, you won. Oh no, sorry, Maliz from last week.
You won a robot. Very nearly won a bald ape, by the way. Like very close to that.
We didn't even see because you didn't share the screen right.
All right, we've got 5 more. Okay. You are a brokey. Let's hope we change that. You are a brokey. We spin.
We're going to change that right now. You are a brokey.
Hold on. Content changed.
Bullbot. Australian football. They call that rugby.
Australian football. Wow.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that's niche. That is
you
niche.
You saying brokey. 57 Jocko.
Content change. Let's see how this goes. See, Rec guys are now 2.5 grand. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Thinking about doubling the treasury?
Ooh, League of Legends, Robert.
League of Legends.
Sports spot.
Okay. Robot season.
Well, now we got the live listeners.
Now we got Smokey, Mr. Lucky.
Who are we running first?
Smokey D-Gen, I think.
Okay, run Smokey.
I just thought that was the list that was placed there. Yeah, right, Smokey. Let's see.
We're Kelly done it though. I had her.
Oh, it's another
robot.
Another robot, Smokey. Congrats.
Robot team definitely want their assets bought. It seems. Who's after that?
Do Kelly Dunnett. I brought her on stage, but I think she disconnected, but she was up here. So just do Kelly Dunnett now.
Okay, Kelly Dunnett next. Let's have a look. Kelly Dunnett.
Red Light District.
The floor
win for Kelly. All right, now let's do Malik. 15
grand for Kelly. And she's not even on stage. And then Malik. Who's this last? Malik. Okay,
this here is
we
it.
Go.
We need this one.
Oh,
it's an OSF. An OSF edition, professional.
Not the worst thing to win.
Just not saying. The worst thing to win it's going into the yeah. next one.
Oh, so, shit. Is something alpha coming? You want to give some alpha?
Nah.
Less alpha, more something that he's been posting every single day.
Elliot, it was a great show. It was fun, man. Thanks for coming on again.
Hey guys, like, I really appreciate you having me back on.
For sure.
Yeah.
Everyone, like we said, Ellie, or maybe you just run through the promos real quick.
Okay, primemind.com/racked if you want to get the app for 50% off. And then if you're interested in coaching, elliotrowe.com, fill out the application form and we'll find a coach for you. If I'm a good fit, I am. If not, someone else will be.
Okay. Awesome. We're gonna give thanks a lot.
And we'll do that post later. Love awesome. It, guys. Thanks a lot, everyone.
Guys, appreciate it. Yeah. Bye.